Okay, Rabbeinu B'chai, Parshas Yisro. So Rabbeinu B'chai begins with the Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Dalet. Mar Pelashon Eitz Chaim, V'Selef Ba Shever Beruach. The healing tongue is an Eitz Chaim, a tree of life. But V'Selef Ba, if there's something wrong with it or something bad with it, so then Shever Beruach, it's destroyed with the wind. So Rabbeinu B'chai says that this is discussing the importance of speech and how if a person says good things with their mouth, it gives them life. And if they say bad things, it destroys them. A person can make someone feel good or bring them close to Ruchnius through their speech, or make them feel terrible and destroy them, or bring them far away from Ruchnius with their speech. So it can go either way. And he actually brings this, everyone knows this famous Gemara in Bava Basra about Avraham Avinu had this gem that he kept around his throat, his neck, and that would heal people. And then when he died, Hashem took that gem and hung it on the sun. So Rabbeinu B'chai explains what that means. He says it refers to Avraham's speech. This gem, it refers to Avraham's speech. And it says hung around his neck. That means because that's where you speak from, is your neck, your vocal cords. And he says that it means that Avraham healed people with his speech. He brought them tachas kanfei hashchina. He was megayer people. He brought people closer to Hashem. So that was his margolis, the gem that healed people. And then when he died, Hashem hung it on the sun. That is to say that when you look up in the sun and the skies, you see that the Ribbono Shalom created the world, and that brings people close to Hashem. That's his nice pshat. So through your speech, you can cause people to come tachas kanfei hashchina. So Moshe did when he told Yisro about all the osos and movsim, all the miracles Hashem did, and that brought Yisro l'hiskayer. So that's the segue into our parsha. Okay, so Rabbeinu B'chai begins the parsha with this discussion that the Rishonim all discussed about when did Yisro come? Did he come before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah? So he first starts with the people who hold he came after Matan Torah. So if he came after Matan Torah, here are the proofs that he came after Matan Torah. That says El Hamidbar, that Yisro came El Hamidbar, Shehu Chonah Sham Har Elokim, that the Jews were camped in the Har Elokim, which refers to Har Sinai. So that sounds like it was after Matan Torah, because they were camped there after they got the Torah for a year. And the Har Elokim, the Har of Hashem. So it sounds like it's after Matan Torah. That's proof number one. Proof number two is that it says in Pasuk Tazayin, when Yisro is discussing with Moshe his story, how he judges the people. So it says, Ki elahem davar bar elayv shafati ben yishav ein reyovo, dati eschu ke elokim vestorosov. So when people come to me, Moshe says, I teach them the Torah of Hashem. What Torah? I thought you came, so that's also a proof, second proof, that Yisro came achar matan Torah. And the third one is that it says that v'yishach Moshe eschos novi elach lo elarto. Moshe sent Yisro home. He would have sent him home before Matan Torah. All these indicate that Yisro came after Matan Torah. That's one pshat, one way of doing, one mahalach. The other way is to say that Yisro came kodem Matan Torah, which is the way that the Rabbeinu B'chai feels is correct. And to answer all the questions, again, this is the Ramban as well, says the same thing. So the answer to all those questions is, all those proofs rather, is that it was called Har Elokim because it was known that Hashem would give the Torah there. And the Torahs that we're referring to that he taught them was the mitzvahs they got already, in Mara, all the mitzvahs they had gotten before Matan Torah. And then when Yisro was sent, he was sent to be Mekayer his Mishpacha and come back. Okay. Anyway, but what is, as far as the connection, why Yisro is here, in other words, just the last week of Parsha ended with Refeed them in Amalek, and then we skip to Yisro showing up. What's the smichas haparshas? Why they're next to each other? So he gives a beautiful pshat that it's a remez to la'asid lavo. It's a remez to when Mashiach eventually comes. And how is that? That the war is against Amalek. It's fought in the Chumash by Yehoshua, and then Yisro comes and is Megayer, and then you have Matan Torah, and then in Parshas Mishpatim you have the Mishpatim. So he says same thing. La'asid lavo, our war with Esav. And it will be fought by Mashiach ben Yosef, who also comes from Ephraim like Yehoshua. And then the others will be Megayer, and join us. Then we'll have the Torah, will be the Zaman Torah, the Torah goes back to where it should be. And then you have the Mishpatim, the Din, the Yom HaDin, the famous Yom HaDin that'll happen in Lasad Lavo, where Hashem is done, everyone. That's the Yom HaDin HaGadol. So that's a remnant to all that. Okay, now he points out something interesting. Again, at the beginning of the parasha, it says, V'ikach Yosro Chosin Moshe, Estzipara Eishes Moshe, Ve'esh, and the next part is Ve'esh Nevanah. Yisro took Tzipora and her two sons. So he says that you'll find in the Torah that the boys are always in the siaches to the mom. It's her children, her sons, and the girls are always in the siaches to the dad. It'll be his daughters, her sons. He does not explain why. He just says that's the fact. Like it says also by Yaakov, it says, Ela b'nei Leah, the sons are hers, and then by Dina it says, Ve'ez Dina bito. He doesn't explain here why. We may have mentioned this before. There's Rav Tzadok who says that the sons tend to take after the mother and the daughters tend to take after the father. Either way, he just points that out. We have the in Pasuk Yud Beis, it says that they had a suda together. Yisro, Chosin, Moshe, they brought Olos, Vachim, Elkim, and they had a suda. So he says that was a suda in honor of the Geirus, and he says that all sudos are to get the neshama ready, like when you have a suda on Shabbos and all that. And when they played music for the Nevi'im, he said this many times, that it's to get the person's body and soul are connected. Every person's bodies and soul are connected. So when you get the body in a good mood, it's easier to get the soul ready to go, and it can get that Gilui Shechina. Okay, so Yisro tells Moshe that he needs to hire some help, and he should get tzaddikim, Sonei Betza, all this. But he uses Lashon Ata Techazeh, you will see. Ata Techazeh, you go see who you should pick. You know, pick Ata Techazeh Mikalam and Shechayel, all that. So what's the Lashon Ata Techazeh? So he says two pshatim. One either is that you should see B'nevuah, that's Lashon Chizayon, because how else are you going to know if they're Sonei, you know, Anshei Emes Sonei Batza. So Techazeh means with your Koach of Nevuah, or with the Chachmas HaParzuf. So that is, you know, there's palm reading, so this is head reading. I don't know exactly how it works, but you can, if you know this chachma, you can look at someone's forehead and know stuff about them. So Moshe certainly knew chachma sapartzov, so he says that's what it means. Either you'll see through nevuah or see through chachma sapartzov. Okay, now he also points out this whole discussion of Anshiemes or Nevatza, this he says that you'll see throughout all Chumash the way the great people are praised is through their midos, like Yaakov's in Ishtam and Ish Tzadik. He doesn't give that example. He says Moshe's son of Ma'od, and the people called Ish Tzadik Tamim. So he says that Tzadikim are praised based on their good midos, not based on their Chachma. To tell you, Lahoros. The main thing of knowledge is to correct your midos, to have straight midos, like the fruit is the main part of the tree, so too the main part of chachma is to have yosher hamidos. Okay, so then he has a long discussion about when the Torah was given, you know, working it out, the days. The Chazal tell us the Torah was given on Shabbos. He just points out that's why, I mean, you do what I think, but that's why on Shabbos, we say in the Shemoneh Esrei of Shabbos, Yismach Moshe Matnas Chelko, because we got the Torah on Shabbos. Okay, then he says, Kosom Eleves Yaakov V'sagil Levnei B'nei Yisrael. And everybody knows, Kosom Eleves Yaakov refers to tell the women, V'sagil Levnei Yisrael, tell the men. So first the women, then the men. Why is that? So he says, because it is the women who bring their children to yeshiva, but it's not just physically bring them, it's emotionally bring them. In other words, they prime them, they get them to go and learn and be diligent in their study, and they daven for them. That's the mother's job, to daven that her son becomes a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham and a Yari Shamayim. So it's up to the women. So first you tell the women, because they're the ones that are the anchor and that bring the sons to learn Torah. And he says that they should daven for this before they light candles. Everybody knows this, but okay. Rabbeinu B'chai also says this. You know, see why when you light candles? So he says because tefillah are more mekubal when you're doing a mitzvah. Or as soon as you do a mitzvah, that's, you know, partially why we daven for things after we bench. When you do a mitzvah, it's a good time to daven. So a woman should daven after she lights candles, or when she's lighting candles. And he also, of course, the other thing is that, like the Gemara says, some haragel b'ner havilin badnum tamid chachamim, someone who's careful with lighting Shabbos candles, which is a light, they will have sons who are light up the world with their Torah. Okay, Pasuk also says in Yud Tes Dalet, it says atem reisim asher asisim Mitzrayim, you saw what I did to Mitzrayim. Ta'esre eschem al kanfein nesharim, I lifted you up, I carried you on the wings of eagles. So he brings the Medrash, Rashi brings it, that when the Mitzrim were shooting arrows at the Jews at Kriyas Yamsuf, so Hashem's Anan went behind them, and the arrows hit the Anan. So that's similar to an eagle, where an eagle carries its babies on its back because it's not afraid of other animals taking it from them, but it's just afraid of an arrow being shot at it. And it says, the eagle says, I'd rather the arrow hit me than hit my kids. So too, Hashem was like that. Hashem sent the Anan behind them to get the arrows, so it shouldn't go into B'nai Yisrael. So, Rabbeinu Bechai asked an interesting question. If that's the case, why is it called Al Kanfei Nisharim? Eagles should have been Al Knaf Nesher. It's one eagle, right? Wasn't that what it is? It was one eagle. If we're talking about, if it's referring to the Anan HaMashem, the Anan covered, so why does it say Kanfei Nisharim? So he says because there was the two things. There was the Anan and the Esh that went behind them. So that's the Nisharim. The Hashem sent two things behind them. Okay, then we get to Har Sinai. So Hashem says everyone's got to stay back. No one should come to Har Sinai. And anyone who does come too close, im behema im ish, lo yichya. So if an animal or a person comes close, they will not live. So he says that doesn't mean what it sounds like. It's not talking about animals. Animals, doesn't matter. Or I don't know. It wasn't talking about animals. It's talking about when it says im behema im ish, it means if a rasha or a tzaddik. Meaning if a rasha comes too close, that's a behema, because Rosh Hashanah compared to a behema, or an ish is supposed to be a tzaddik. Even if a person's a tzaddik, they won't live. That's what it means. Im behema im ish means a rasha or a tzaddik. Either way, they won't live. They have to stay back. Now, this is the part that I found the most shocking of the whole. I mean, it's my Amaratzas, but it's most shocking to me of everything I read here in this week's parasha. And that is the story at Har Sinai. So before Hashem is Yorid al Har Sinai, there's the what happened before. And the Kolos, the Brakim, Anan, Kaved al Har, Kol Shafar, Chazak, Mel, Ve'echrad, Am, Kal, Asher, B'machana. So it says it was in the morning, and there was thunder and lightning, and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the Kol Shofar, and Har Sinai is completely full of smoking. He quotes the Pasuk in Shoftim. It's in Shoftim Perakei, Pasuk Dalad. Eretz Rasha, Gam Shamayim, Natvu, Gam Avim, Natvu Mayim. That what you would expect with thunder and lightning, It was also raining. A light rain, it sounds like, a light rain. A light rain, not tfumayim. But it was raining. That's shocking to me, absolutely shocking. It was a light rain, that's what he says, ktsas geshamim. It was a light rain. And he says, the Mor Nevuchim says this too. But this is, again, before the actual Kabbalah Satara. This is all, I don't want to call it a pre-show, but it's what happened before Hashem Shechina came down. There was the thunder, the lightning, and then light rain. And then there was the whole Har Sinai was full of smoke. And then the Esh came down. And he's careful, Rabbi Bechai, to point out that those are not the same. Meaning it was not, there was a fire that was smoky. Because the fire of Hashem doesn't have smoke. Nothing's burning. It's the fire of Hashem. So the fire of Hashem didn't have smoke. The Har Sinai was full of smoke. And the Esh was not full of smoke. The Esh was Esh. And the Ashan was Ashan. They were separate things. Okay, then we have, so Moshe warned them once to stay far back, and then he seems to warn them again to stay far back. And again, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, he tells them again to stay back. Why does he need to warn them twice? So Rabbeinu Bechai says the first time was what it sounds like, to not get too close. The second time was to not get mentally too close. That is, they shouldn't... Pen yehersu el Hashem liros, it means to say... they shouldn't try to see what that cannot be seen. They shouldn't try to be masig what is not understandable. The person can't be masik the Rabbanu Shalom. So therefore, they shouldn't try to mentally go where they shouldn't go. They can't go. Okay, so in the actual Maimon Har Sinai, so this is Machlokas Rambam and Ramban. Rambam is of the opinion that the Jewish people heard only the first two Dibros, and they did not understand what it was said. It was just a sound, but not something they could understand. And Moshe heard all 10 clear. Whereas the Ramban says, no, the Jewish people heard all 10 as a sound they could not understand, but they did understand the first two. Okay, so let's go through parts of the Aseret Dibros here. So first we have Anochi Hashem Lekecha Asher Hotzisicha Meretz Mitzrayim, Mi Beis Avadim, I took you out of Mitzrayim from the house of Avadim. What does house of Avadim mean? Okay, so the Pashup Shad is you used to be slaves. Other possibilities, what's the base? I took you out of a house of Avadim, he says, is that the Mitzrayim themselves were Avadim. They're the descendants of Cham, so they should be Avadim. So I took you out of a bunch of Avadim. That's another pshat. A third pshat, he says, is that I took you out of Beis Avadim. That means out of the Kochavim and Mazalos. The Mitzrayim were very into astrology and all this stuff. And those are really Avadim. They're Avadim to the Ribbono Shel Olam, or even the things above them that tell them what to do. So it's telling you, you know, I took you out of the house of Avodah Zarah. What's it trying to tell you? I took you out of the house of Avadim, meaning being under the Avodas Kochavim and Mazalos. I took you out of being under that, which are themselves Avadim. And that's to tell them, the Jewish people, that they got out B'nais. It wasn't natural. They should have been there longer if it was based on Teva. Okay. Skipping to Shabbos. There it says, Zachar, Siyom HaShabbos HaKacho. So Zachar means, he says, that you have to remember the Shabbos every single day. And that is that's an ikra of our emuna, to remember the Chiddush Olam every day. And the Kacho means that on Shabbos, we have to turn our thoughts from Iskei HaGuf to Iskei HaNefesh, to only think about the Neshama, and to learn the whole day. I mean, that's what he says you're supposed to do. It's supposed to be a spiritual day. Like we said, you're supposed to go to the Navi or the Rabbi to hear the Shir, like it says when the lady whose child died and she went to Elisha. And he said, the husband said, why are you going? Lo Shchodesh Hayom, Lo Shabbos Hayom. You were supposed to go to the rabbi on Shabbos to see him, to learn Torah from him. So that's what Shabbos is supposed to be. And he also says, the famous line that we all know, mostly from the song, Ma Ahavti Torasecha Kol Hayom Hisichasi. We know from other places. But anyway, it says, Ma Ahavti Torasecha Kol Hayom Hisichasi. What does Kol Hayom mean? He should have said, Kol Yom Hisichasi, or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, he says, Kol Hayom refers to a specific day. Which day? Shabbos. On Shabbos, Torah is supposed to be Kol Hayom Hisichasi. On Shabbos, the whole day is supposed to be Torah. So that's what we're supposed to be doing on Shabbos, and that's why it's called an Oneg, because that's the Oneg. The Neshama gets an Oneg. Also, he mentions that on Shabbos, the Neshamas rest. They don't go to Gehenna. There's no Gehenna on Shabbos. And that's why the rest of the week, we say Behurachim every night. We say Behurachim Mechaper Avon V'lei Yashchis. So that refers to three of the Malachim in Gehenna, Malachi Chabal in Gehenna, that people go to Gehenna at night. It says, well, the whole week they're in Gehenna, but there's something with it starting at night. But anyway, we say Lo Yashchis, because Hashem has these three Malachim of Chema, Af, and Mashchis. So we're davening Lo Yashchis, Lo Yair Kol Chamas, Here, Balahashiv Apo, Leir Kol Chamaso. Those, the Af, the Chema, the Mashkes, those are three Malachim. So we daven that Hashem should mitigate that during the week. But on Shabbos, there is no Gehenim, so that's why we don't say Vurachim. And furthermore, we say all these Tfilos, or many places say Tfilos after Shabbos. And he says, Rabbi Bachai says, we know the minig is to say Vihi Noam very, very slowly after Shabbos, because we don't want, because the longer Klal Yisrael keep Shabbos, the longer the Neshamas get a respite in Gehenim. So we say Vihi Noam. Right, he says we say Vihi Noam very slowly. Every shul does that. Anyway, well, many shuls do. But anyway, that's what he says should be saying Vihi Noam very slowly. It's all to keep, because the neshamas do not burn on Shabbos. And he says something. He brings a medrash that is a little surprising to me. That he says sounds like even goyim who did not keep Shabbos in this world rest in the next world. I happen to know a Zohar that Sounds not like that, at least about Jews. It's just happened on the Pasuk of Ayak, Elo Savar, Reish Bechomosh, Rosech, Biyom HaShabbos, that there, this is Zohar that says, don't burn a fire in this world on Shabbos, so that they won't burn a fire for you in the next world on Shabbos. Okay, anyway, that's what he says. He brings a Medrash that even the Rishayim is in people who did not keep Shabbos. Sounds like they get out of, at least Goyim, they get out of Gehenim on Shabbos, Mestami Yidden too. Okay, and then it says, Ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem, asa shamayim v'saharetz. He says, it doesn't say, Ki bisheshes yamim, in 6 days. It says, Ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem. So Rabbi Nebuchadnezzar says, that's to teach you that Hashem created time. Time is a creation, and Ki sheshes yamim asa Hashem. Hashem made 6 days. It is Hashem created time. Then there's Ki b'rav. It says, l'man yirichun yamecha. So we know Chazal tells us that means l'olam haba, but he brings from Rav Sadigon that it sounds like he understood it literally, that there's also literally, and he says the reason why Kibud Avim has the Arichas Yamim, and that it, because sometimes, you know, now we have assisted living and nursing homes and things like that, but in the old days there wasn't that. And there's a mitzvah of Machilo, Mashkeo, right? You have to, a parent, you have to feed them and drink them, and those are mostly end-of-life things. When you're a little kid, they feed you. The main mitzvah of Kibud Avim is when the parents are older. And they need help. Machilo, mashkeo, machniso, motzio, all those things. So sometimes the parent may live very long, and the child may think, oh, this is rough. You know, and maybe they'll think they wish they, maybe a child might think that they wish that their life would end. So they should know that it's, that's why it's l'man yarichun yamecha. And if their life ends earlier, your life ends earlier. Meaning the more a person does kibud avim, the more life they get. So that's why it's the schar for that. Okay. When we get to Losana Briacha, Eid Shaker, he said, it doesn't say Eid Shaker, rather Eid Shaker, and that is to tell you that you can't even get someone, it's even part of the Aseres Dibros tonight, get someone to testify falsely. Forget, you shouldn't testify falsely. You should not get someone to testify falsely. That's Losana Briacha, Eid Shaker. Okay. Just as far as the sequence of the Aseres Dibros. So he has a whole plan in the first five. Anochi, why you start with Anochi is pretty obvious. And then Lo Yielecha, also pretty obvious. And Lo Sisha is all for Kvod Hashem. And Shabbos to remember that there's Bono Shalom. Then Kabinis Avicha is all of the above. In other words, he says to recognize that your parents are who your parents are and to treat them with respect. And then you have Lo Sirtzach. So that's a little clearer. The Lo Sase is Lo Sirtzach. That's to not lessen the amount of human beings in the world. Do not murder. Lo sinaf, that means do not increase the human beings in the world if it's done by Isser. As in, ish is not a heter for, you know, just to have kids. That's the opposite. So do not decrease the humans in the world through Isser. Do not increase the humans in the world through Isser. Then lo signov, which means kidnapping. Do not just even move them around where they don't belong to be moved around. And then lo sana is an Isser that's in the mouth. Not in action as much, but it's even in speech. And then Lo Sachmar is even in thought, which is not so pashut, but that's what he says. It means even in thought, one cannot even have thoughts of Chemda. Okay. And also he has other Ramazim, why the Dibros are where they are, like Lo Sirtzach is the sixth Dibra, because Adam was created on the sixth day. And he has one for Lo Sinaf, is because there are seven types of women, that is Niuf. Okay, so there's a lot of Ramazim for all of them. You can look inside and see it if you'd like. Okay, then it says, V'chol Yisrael, Ro'u es hakolos. What does it mean to see the sound? So he says it means to be masig. It means hasaga, the remasig, the kol, whatever that means. After Matan Torah, it says that Hashem did this, Bavortia, Yirasu al Pneichem, Levilti Sechas To, that Hashem's Yira should be on your face. So what does that mean, on your face? So he says it refers to Busha, that a person should have busha, and that's something you could see on the face. Other stuff you can't see on the face, but someone's busha should be on the face. And through that, a person comes to Yiras Chet. Then it says that Moshe was Nigash El Ha'arafel. So what is the Arafel? So he says, most Mepharshim explained that it's some kind of, well, obviously, whatever pshat it is, it's to hide what's behind it. But the Arafel is a thick cloud, or it was darkness. So the Rabbeinu B'chai says it was not darkness. It was the opposite of darkness. It was extreme light. And that also hides what's behind it. Like, you can't look at the sun, right? So it was an extreme light. And that's what Moshe went into. Then we have a fascinating, fascinating line. It says, Losas uniti Elohei chesef Elohei zav losas ulechem. Do not make with me Elohei chesef Elohei zav. So Rabbeinu Bechai says, that's telling you, it's being miramis to you, that when you daven, when you're with Hashem, and you're davening Shemana Esrei, do not be thinking about money and gold and your mundane things like that, because it's as if then you're having Elohei chesef Elohei zav. It's as if you're having idols of Kesef and Zav, if you think about that during Shemana Esrei. Okay. It's interesting. And then just finally about the Isser Gazis, that you can't, on the Mizbeach, cannot use Gazis, Kichar Becha, Hinaftalah. So he brings different, just three different Pshatim. There's the Ibn Ezra, who says the problem with chiseling at the Mizbeach is because that means if you chisel, that means some of it's going in the garbage. It's stuff you chisel off, and that's inappropriate. The Rambam, he says that is that you shouldn't come to make some kind of tzura. And the Ramban says, like most of us assumed, that it's because you can't have metal on the Mizbeach, like we know, because the Pasuk says, Achar b'cha, kichar b'cha inaftaleh, because the cherev is mekatzer yamav shel adam, and it's the tool of Esav. We don't want that on the mizbeach.